got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, pork, dog, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rat, you name it!
Bomber Nation, happy Black Friday to you. This is no ordinary Black Friday for the at least second time in recorded school history. We're playing a football game on Black Friday. This has not happened since 2006. I want to thank you for tuning in. This is the Bomber Buzz. We do not have a guest this week, but those of you that are listening on the Bomber Sports Network, we're going to replay a previous episode that we had. We're going to have a previous guest, J.R. Free, Connor King, and Garrett Barr, our Bomber cross-country state champions. That episode was supposed to play 2 weeks ago, but we had extra programming that day because of the fact we were hosting a state playoff game for the first time in over 15 years, but we're going to replay that for you in its entirety for you today. It's going to be very exciting. I want you to listen to it. We weren't able to play it pregame. You can still go back and listen to the episode on anywhere you can listen to a podcast, on Spotify, Apple, it's even up on YouTube, but we're going to replay that in its entirety. We're going to take a short little break. We'll be back with our Bomber cross-country team, and then after that, we'll have a little preview of Bombers versus Greenwood in the state semifinals here in just a moment. This is the Bomber Buzz.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Back here on the Bomber Buzz, we're getting ready for this first playoff game we've hosted in over 15 years. The Bombers will take on the Sheridan Yellow Jackets. But in the meantime, we have some champions in our midst. We have Jackson Free, Connor King, and Garrett Barr with us, boys. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Bringing home a trophy.
Oh, yeah. Soon. Oh, yes. Very fun.
So we'll start with Jackson. Of course, you came home in first place overall with a 16:06. That's a 10-second difference between first and second place. I've told a lot of people that's about like winning a basketball game by like 20 or a football game by like 14 points. Is that about right? Because 10 seconds is a lot.
Yeah, especially in a distance event such as that. It's a lot more than what people would think.
Yeah, because you think like 10 seconds, you don't think it's a lot, but when you stretch it out, it's like probably 100 feet, maybe?
Yeah, probably around 25, 20, 30 meters okay. In that range.
So the any cross-country course that you run, it's about a 5K, would you say?
Yeah.
There's some that are smaller, some that are longer.
Absolutely.
But at Hot Springs, did they change that course at Hot Springs, or is it still... Well, you guys would know. I don't know if you've ever ran it.
No, but. I wouldn't. Did they change it?
Yeah, they changed it from last year. It was a little bit longer, but at state, we don't really care about times. It's more about placement that you want to care about because that's what when you use the meet.
Because the thing that gets a lot of people is that like the scoring in cross country is a little strange, but once you spell it out, it's pretty easy to understand. Like if you get in first, that's 1 point. Second's 2 points, and they go all the way through like 290th, however many kids there were, but they take your top five, and the lowest score wins. Is that correct?
Yes,
sir.
So we finished, like, what was it, 60 points higher than the second-place team or something
Just about.
I couldn't get mile split to low, but I just have the individual results. I mean, we came home in first, third, fourth, sixth, and 19th, our top five. Wave was in 19th, and Trenton Smith was in sixth. So we had four guys inside the top six. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yep.
Because, you know, Russellville's always got some solid runners. Christian has some. But what was the toughest course y'all ran this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to be honest, not to sound biased, but I think I'm going to have to give it to our home course.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I'd have to give it to our conference course. Alma was the host of it, and it was their first time hosting a meet, but it was just really uneven, that course, and really hard to get footing right.
Now, see, that's one thing. Cross-country's a little bit sore. I kind of equate it similar to, like, baseball, where, you know, like, a basketball court's going to be the same everywhere you go. Football field's going to be the same. But, like, you know, baseball field, the dimensions could be different everywhere. Cross-country courses, I mean, they're not all the same. You can have some that are flat, some that are hilly. I know when we used to run the course that kind of roped around the junior high that went across from Hackler. That was just real hilly, if I remember right. And this one's, what's this one like here at the college?
It's not bad. I'd say it's a pretty decent course. We got just one hill about a mile into it, and then that's about it. It's a pretty good course.
Yeah, and it's How long did you say it was? About 5K or so?
Yeah, normally Coach Norris gets our course right pretty much every time we've hosted a meet.
Okay. Yeah, because I know there's separate rules, like, you know, it's got to be at least a certain length, but no longer than this for it to count toward, you know, state rankings or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the training process that goes into cross country. You know, when do you start ramping up for the next season? Now you're the senior, correct?
Junior.
Yeah, you're junior. That's right. You're the senior.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Connor King's our senior. The other two here are juniors. But so when you guys are getting ready to prepare for next season, when does that start?
It starts right after the season.
You can answer that too, I guess.
It starts right after the season ends.
Yeah.
So, like, we're technically still in cross country season because we'll be competing at the Nike Cross Regional in the Woodlands, Texas.
That's right.
Once that ends, we normally take a week off and then we get right back into it to get ready for track.
Gotcha. Yeah, because pretty much everyone in cross country runs track too, right?
Yes.
Or does something in track.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I remember right, is this the first year that they've done that down in Texas? Because there used to be one where it was just a bunch of Arkansas and Oklahoma kids. Is this the same one? They just added Texas as well?
No, they've been having this meet for some time. It's just we decided to not do the All-Star meet, which is the Arkansas and Oklahoma.
Gotcha. That's the one.
And this is a much bigger and more competitive meet that's a national qualifier.
So if you do good down there, what happens?
You get to qualify for Nike Cross Nationals, which is in Oregon.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's probably at the Nike facility up there.
Yes.
In Eugene?
It is. Yes.
Wow, so what needs to happen there for you guys to go to that? And I'm assuming all of you are going. Who else is going to that? Or is it just you three?
I think us three and Trenton Smith will also be going.
Okay. So what needs to happen there for you guys to go to Nationals?
We are all racing unattached because we don't have enough for a full team. And so as an unattached runner, you have to place top five out of all unattached runners, which is pretty difficult to do.
Because you might have a lot of schools that do that. Like they might take three or four kids that just run unattached.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said after that, probably about December, you guys will start cranking it back up for next year. What's your training regimen look like? Do you start right back where you were? You kind of ease off and then build it back up? What's that look like? We'll start with Jackson.
Yeah, no, we don't get right back into it because, especially with it being as cold as it is, if we get back into it and the body's not warm, it really does damage onto it. So when we come back after Nike, we'll have a week off. So we'll have like a medium week, and then we're going to start progressively upping the miles in December and January. And then probably about towards, I mean, we'll have indoor, but I don't think we'll do too much speed at that point. Mm-hmm. So pretty much around end of February, beginning of March, we'll start slowly working in our speed and getting better and progressing as the season goes on.
So you'd say like June, July, August, somewhere around that time, that's when it's like you're hitting it hard, 100%?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's that look like in August? Like what's that training look like?
Like 60, 65 mile weeks, just hitting
those.
You
say 60?
Yes, sir.
Whew. That's a lot of miles.
Yeah.
That's about driving to Harrison and back.
Yep.
60 miles, just to put that in perspective. So that's obviously not in one day, so that's about, what, 12 miles a day-ish?
We run 6 days a week.
Okay.
We'll split that up, but we get a long run on Saturday and then longer or shorter, but long runs on the weekdays.
As us normal people, you know, we hear 8 miles and, like, that's pretty long. But now, when you're in season, do you just – try to meet somewhere in the middle, try to keep your distance lower, higher, or just about what you'd run? Or
for this season, I think our highest week was probably 60,
mm-hmm.
and our lowest was this past week at state. It was like 20 miles. But usually we try to maintain anywhere from 45 to 55 miles with speed mixed in there once or twice a week during season.
Yeah, people don't understand how much training goes into a cross country or a track runner. There's a lot of running that goes involved, as dumb as it sounds. But I mean, does it ever, like, how do you mix it up? Do you change routes? I mean, what do you do to try to keep it so it's not just vanilla?
Yeah.
I mean, I see you guys running groups a lot of times, so I mean, I'm sure that helps speed along.
Yeah,
we're like a family. We talk on the runs. We just have fun. We make it fun. So.
I mean, that's important, make anything fun.
Yeah.
So y'all really just talk on that, like just how the day went?
Yeah.
Like what was school like? You know,
pretty much.
Who the Cardinals are going to pick up in the off season? Or
man, dude, Better be Soto. I'm gonna say it right now. But no, we talk a lot. We talk about a lot of different stuff, especially on the long runs. The long runs when it's 9+ miles at one time, so anywhere from like an hour to 2 hour run. That's
a lot.
That's really when we just start rambling off on whatever topics.
Lord knows what.
And exactly. We have no idea what we're saying half the time. We're just talking.
I think there's a lot of times people don't want you to. People don't want to know what you want to say. So you guys are both, or all three of you, in cross country and track. You guys in anything else?
No, sir.
No sports. Nope.
No sports. Okay. When you were growing up, did you guys play other sports? Like, I know you had Jackson, you had baseball. Yeah. Did both of you play soccer?
No, I played basketball.
That's what
younger.
It was. Yeah.
I played soccer.
So. Yeah, you just played soccer. But when you were growing up, did you find it good to play something else?
Yeah, I had a lot of foot speed in soccer, so I think that helps me when I'm finishing a race. Mm-hmm. So I could go fast.
So, and I'll start with Connor. When did you realize, like, of course, anytime someone gets good at something, the light bulb clicks, like, hey, I could be pretty good at this. Hey, I could probably do this in college. When did that light click, like, hey, I could be pretty decent at least at cross country?
I'd say my sophomore season of cross country. I had started really focusing on training, and I wasn't very good, but I saw my hard work starting to pay off, and I thought, you know, if I just keep working hard, I can get up there and be with those top guys. And obviously it's worked off, but once that happened, I really just thought, this is for me.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
I was always kind of like the fast runner when I was like a eighth grader, freshman, and then I keep going, and I keep getting better, and I'm getting up there in the ranks, and I keep going.
You just keep going?
Yeah.
Jackson, you?
I think I'd have to say last cross country season, because I want to say for around 5 to 6 years at that point, I've done really nothing but baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, perfect game, traveling, doing all of that. I never really had any thought of baseball. I really just used cross country as something to rotate and do something else until the fall. But last cross country season, I broke 16 in the 5K for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then I had a tough decision to make. It's been the right decision. I went to my first track season really well. Came out this cross season as state individual winner, of course. So I think it was really the right decision to make. I think God really put me in the right situation to do that, and especially moving down here with this program, it's really helped me out in that way as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a state championship level program year in and year out. This is the third, by the way, this is a three-peat. So this is the first one for you, Jackson, but this is the third one for you two.
Yes, sir.
I mean, of the three, which one was the most difficult so far? Which year, was there ever a year you thought like, man, we might be lucky if we get this, or?
I'd probably say all 3 years have been pretty similar. Mm-hmm. We've just been at the top of the rankings for the past 3 years, but every year we go into it trying not to be big-headed, mm-hmm. because that's what's going to – that would lose us the
– Just try to stay hungry.
Yeah.
I think it was Phil Jackson used to say – he used to coach the Bulls. You know that, and Jackson knows that. He always had that kind of embrace the target mindset, because, you know, they're the best team. They're going to have the best dude. Everybody's aiming for him. I mean, does that kind of help, like, I don't know – he's kind of the nerves a little bit, like, hey, we know we're the best.
Yeah, we kind of race with knowing we have a target on our back. Everyone wants to beat the Bombers is how we go into it. But we want to go into a meet like we have something to prove, and not like we're racing, we can't lose, but like we've got to win. Mm-hmm. We've got to prove to everyone we're this good.
And just shows all the execution and the hard work, like we're going to do this, pretty
yes.
much. That's a good way to put it. That's really well thought out, Connor. You're public speaking in the future.
Well, that came from Coach Norris.
Yeah. So that's glad you brought him up. What's it like playing or running for Coach Norris? Because Coach Norris he had a lot of our records here for a long time in boys cross country. I mean, what's it like running for him?
It's awesome. I'm gonna be honest. I really enjoy it. He gives us the right workouts at the right time. with the proper weight training and everything we need. But at the same time, he doesn't make it repetitive. Mm-hmm. He ends up making it fun. Like pretty much like every two, every three Fridays, we'll end up playing ultimate frisbee, and we won't run. We'll get like a mile warm up in, and then for like 2 hours, we'll just play ultimate frisbee on the football field or the backfield. He finds a way to.
I've seen that one day because I saw that. I'm like, man, they're playing ultimate frisbee out there.
Yeah, right? He likes to bring fun into it, and that's really something I think you need as a coach, especially in a sport that's so repetitive as cross country. You go out and you run. It's really hard to just continue to do that and have enjoyment in it. And so to have somebody who brings that joy back every so often, it's really nice to have.
Yeah, I've always loved talking to him. I went to school with him, and he would fit in just perfectly with you guys. I mean, because he still goes out and runs with y'all.
Yeah. Yes.
If I remember right, because mm-hmm. I've seen him out there.
He's now,
does he still keep up? Or
he beat me in our 1.5 at the beginning of the season, and he beat me there. But he keeps up easily. Of course, he does long runs with us, and I mean at that race, I guess I could say because I finished directly behind him with a lean, he beat me. But
I saw a picture. It was a cool picture.
Yeah,
it was like it was probably within about a foot or two, maybe.
It was close. But with that, it was the record for the 1.5 on that course.
Really?
Yeah.
So that probably made you feel good, like, you know, this guy that's been a cross country runner for probably 15, 20 years almost. You barely finished behind him.
I mean, yeah. At the same time, yeah, but no, because you can ask these two. I was like trash talking him the whole entire week up to it, and it kind of backfired. But no, it's fun to have a coach like that who runs with us, who talks with us. I remember a lot during the summer. He'd run with us three all the time, and we'd always be talking about the Olympics or the next national championship races coming up with all the runners and everything. And it was pretty much. It's pretty much just two guys, just like there a couple of just friends who just like no stats for like baseball, basketball, just going back and forth for like 5 miles. It's pretty fun having him being able to keep up with us and run with us.
Mm-hmm. I mean that's always good to have an influence of, you know, someone that's been there and done that, because he was an excellent runner here. I don't know if he talks about the good old days back in the 2010s, you know, the long time ago, back when we only had like 300 channels on TV. But tell me about some of the other coaches that you guys have, because it's not just Coach Norris. You have a handful of other coaches.
Yeah, in track we have you know, a lot of coaches, but normally
can you name them?
Coach Shagnon.
Yeah.
Coach Phillip.
Uh huh.
Our vice principal.
We used to have Coach Peverell.
Yeah.
He was a good influence.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Tilda.
Yeah.
Coach Tilda.
I thought you'd name her first, but that's okay.
I don't know why you guys are looking at me. I'm new here.
So, I mean, you've had obviously a lot of good influences around you. Well, let's go to the state championship meet, the 5A meet down in Hot Springs. What's the day before that look like?
The day before? Okay, so...
I know you're traveling down there, but like, what's the couple days before that look like?
So, the day before we leave, we had no practice.
It's like a recovery day?
Recovery day, easy rest, mental day, get everything packed up. We then left at 10 a.m., stopped halfway in Clinton. We ate lunch, and we played on a playground.
Playground? Wow.
Yes. Yep. We should have did. And then sorry. And then we left. We made all the way down to Hot Springs. That same day, we ran the course to go survey, know where the markers are at, mm-hmm. get our tent set up. The next day, then we spend the night in the hotel. We had a lot of fun.
Well, we went to Olive Garden and ate there.
Sorry.
Had a lot of pasta, carbs.
That's good. You got carb load.
Yep.
And then we have a team meeting in the hotel that night, and then we all split up, but we ended up coming together in my room. We all just hung out the whole night, had some fun.
Played some video games.
We did. played some Fortnite.
Little Fort?
Yeah, brought the PS5, played some Fort.
Little Fort, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, you got to stay loose like that.
Exactly.
Because it's like, I know a lot of people, you know, they've performed before in state tournaments and any sport or what have you, and they just get tensed up, but then you have people like that. Just, you got to take your mind off of it, honestly, at some point.
And then we woke up at 8. We had a little shakeout run, half mile, 5 minutes at 8:10 in the morning, 8:30 in the morning. Had breakfast, had another team meeting. Then we showered, got our stuff together. Then we had around a two-hour window for homework time, 9 to 11. Mm-hmm. We did homework. We just chilled. We relaxed in the lobby. We talked to coach. Went over our race plans a couple more times. Then went to go grab some lunch. And then we went to the course, and then we raced.
Now, during the race, another thing, if you haven't seen a cross-country run, this is to the people listening at home, it can be pretty physical. People don't understand that. Like, you can get bowed, you can get kicked. I mean, you'll see, if you look at y'all closely, if you run a very physical race, you come back cut up, bruised. I mean, what's that like?
I like it. I'm going to be honest. I think it's fun.
Nothing dirty.
No.
It's just like just fighting for position.
Yeah. You can ask Connor, but he still talks to me about it, and I'd still say I'm sorry. Chili Pepper. I elbowed him right off the line to get out. Like, I mean, elbow to, like, bicep, and this dude just, I just hear, ow, and then we start, like, gun goes off, I elbow, ow, and then we just get running.
I remember at our first meet, Garrett was fighting for position with this one guy, and he almost got pushed to the ground.
Yeah, right in the back, just shoved me. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
But
it can be very physical
sometimes.
So now,
are there any, like, because I know, like, you know, in basketball, football, baseball, there's referees. Are there any, like, monitors or officials at these? Or?
There are.
Or is it, like, basically, if you see something happen, you just report it?
No, there's officials there. They blend into the crowd, so you don't really see them at all. But of
normally,
course,
it's, like, at a track meet.
Yeah.
You'll see that because they could see
Yeah, because it's more enclosed.
It's a lot. The rules are a lot more enforced during track. They're, like, what's the rule? Like, you have to, like, let them be, like, within, like, a meter or two in front of you before you can, like, push off and pass them or something. Like, it's crazy in track. But, like, in cross country, if you're packed up, you can just start throwing elbows. And like, my freshman year, I remember this to this day, my freshman year conference meet, we go down this hill. There's, like, wood. There's trees. There's nobody can get there. There's trees. This kid's pushing on me. We come around a turn. I'm tired. I just elbow him square in the chest. I did not see that kid for the rest of the race.
So, and back to the 5A state meet. Gun goes off. What happens? What's going through y'all's head?
Well, we had a race plan before this. Me and Garrett did. Race plan was to not go out as fast because in previous races before, we've made that mistake and we paid the price for it, not doing as good as we should have. And so we went out more conservative than normal and let people, you know, go out who shouldn't be in front of us. They went out and died. And then we just passed
people. They fell off on pace. So they didn't actually die.
Yeah, fell off. Let's clarify that. Fell off on pace. And they fell off on pace, and, you know, we just made our way through the pack and worked our way up to third and fourth place, and that's where we should have finished.
So is that what was your plan? What's your plan?
For me, it was a little different. Me and Coach talked about different options, but we came to a good solution for me. And usually, like in a bigger meet, like Chili Pepper, I keep referencing it just because it's a big, super fast meet. I ran a 15:22. Usually at a meet like that, I'm my first miles for 440, 445. Mm-hmm. I was like that the home meet when I broke the course record. I was like 440. But for this meet, we really didn't focus on that because it's not about time. It's about winning and just getting the win and getting the placement and bringing home a trophy. So really, I went out probably 5 flat, 5:10. It was a little pack of like four of us right there. Wasn't too worried. And then about after mile and a half, I just broke off. Did my thing, and everybody ended up falling back. People pushing up,
won the thing. So, what was that like at the end when y'all realized y'all won? Was it instant, or did you have to wait for results
to
come out?
For me, it was instant. Last year,
well, yours was. Yes. I'm talking about it like as a group.
I think
I remember me and you, me and Jackson watching the
watching, the board.
Or yeah, we're watching the board.
Because you three were done, and you're just waiting for.
But waiting on,
we're waiting on two.
Yeah.
We looked down. We saw Trenton finish at sixth, and then we saw Wave Simmons
right behind,
sprinting down the straightaway, and we knew we had won it then.
Yeah.
So it was like it was just a formality waiting for the board to pop up.
Yes.
I mean, that was awesome though. I mean, because I kept getting texts from like three or four different people saying, "Oh, so Jackson just got first. You know, Connor and Garrett, they just finished like fourth and fifth, or third and fourth." And then I was like, "Oh, they got this."
Yeah,
yeah.
For me, the moment was like really, really surreal. I mean, just when throughout the race, I really didn't like have that moment. It's like, "Oh, I'm individual state champ." I was just racing, doing what I usually do, but. Last year at West Plains, we were ranked first going in. We came out fifth. Freshman year, we were ranked bad, and we ended up getting third. Mm-hmm. So we came close both times. And actually being able to accomplish what I've been working so hard to do the past few years, it was really something that I cared about. And especially with these guys, this is probably my favorite team I've been a part of. Team chemistry's good.
Obviously.
It's obviously good.
People are not going to see this at home, but Jackson's in a Dodgers shirt, but Garrett,
good cards.
Both of these guys are wearing the exact same thing.
Not
this,
planned.
This was not planned.
Yeah, it was not planned. Like, they got black shorts on, they got a Run with the Bull shirt on, I believe same or close to the same shoes, so I'm like, you thought they were, they planned this. I mean, it's funny to watch, but fellas, it was fun to keep up with you guys. Probably one of the most fun teams to keep up with, just from a chemistry standpoint, and knowing like we got a chance to go win this. But it was incredible to watch you guys at our home meet. So I just want to say that. And community, there's a lot of people in the community. You might not hear it as much as, you know, football or whatever else have you. But I mean, Mountain Home's proud. Mountain Home's very proud of you young guys. I mean, you three. I just picked you three. You were the first three to make it. But Mountain Home's real proud of you guys and you guys as a program. So, and it's not just me saying that. A lot of people have said that. So you catch these three, they're going to get introduced pregame of the Bomber football game, I believe about 6:40. There's some AAA rules. We can't do it during the game, so we're going to knock it out before. That's above our pay grade up there. One last thing before we let you guys go. Imagine all three of you will be in attendance at the football game tonight, right? Mm-hmm. So can we get a score prediction from each of you? Ooh. We'll start with Jackson, then we'll go left to right.
Well, I mean, I have some teammates. I have some guys on the football team in class. Mm-hmm. I've seen some film.
Watching some tape.
I'm gonna be honest. I think I'm looking here at a good 34-10 victory for the Mountain Home Bombers.
At this time of year, victory is a victory.
48-0.
I like
I'm calling it.
I like it.
I got Bombers by 90.
Bombers by 90.
Yeah.
I like it. Fellas, I appreciate y'all. Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.
Go Bombers. Go Bombers.
We're going to take a short little break. We'll have a preview of Bombers versus Sheridan in just a moment on the Bomber Buzz.
Somewhere there's a river rushing through the woods while someone rushes through their day. There's a mountain looking up at the sky while someone looks down at their phone. A trail waiting to be walked while someone waits for a latte. This world is full of somewheres waiting for someone just like you. So go see yours at 154 National Forests and 20 Grasslands. And to learn more, visit nationalforests.org. The National Forest Foundation. See your somewhere.
This is the Bomber Buzz here on Classic Hits 101.7 and the Bomber Sports Network. We're going to get you ready for Bombers versus Greenwood. We hope you enjoyed that previous episode that we had 2 weeks ago. We weren't able to play it on our pregame because we were doing our Bomber Game Day, or not really a knockoff of College Game Day, but that was a real fun thing that we did, and hopefully that becomes a thing in the future. But let's get down to business. We're going to talk about Bombers versus Greenwood real quick as we wrap up. I mean, they're the dude. They always say to be the man, you got to beat the man, and Greenwood's been the man for as long as I can remember. They're going to try to extend their 69-game home winning streak to 70 this evening. That's an insane amount of games when you think about, at most, you're playing probably 6-7 games a year at home, if you're lucky. I mean, that's an absurd amount. But, you know, the Bombers, I think they could do it. You know, it would be one of the biggest stories in the state of Arkansas, if not the Midwest, if the Bombers were able to pull this off. But, you know, Our guys, we're really good. You know, everybody that's playing today on Black Friday is still good. There's nobody that just stinks that's playing today. But that's what I think. I have no clue what's going to happen today, but I can't wait to see what happens with you. Tune in next week. We will be back with the Bomber Buzz, and let's get ready for Bombers versus Greenwood. Wherever you're watching, cheer loud, cheer proud, and remember, go Bombers!